Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, December 6, 2018. Champaign Schools, district seeking an $8.4 million tax boost, but officials expect impact to be muted. The Champaign School District wants to levy for $8.4 million boost in property taxes next year, but is projecting the increase would have a minimal impact on the tax rate paid by property owners. The bulk of the proposed levy increase would be in corporate and special purpose property taxes tied to operation of the school district, while just a sliver of it would be tied to paying down the debt for the school construction projects approved in a 2016 referendum, according to Tom Lockman, Unit 4's chief financial and legal officer. We are projecting the change in the total rate would be minimal and unrelated to the referendum amount, he said. Property owners saw the major increase from the referendum, which launched $183.4 million in school building projects on their 2017 taxes paid earlier this year, Lockman said. The school district plans to hold a public hearing on its 2018 levy for taxes payable next year at 5:30 p.m. Monday at the Mellon Administrative Center, 703 South New Street, Champaign. The hearing is a legally required step before the school board approves its levy request this month. What the school district asks for in its tax levy isn't necessarily what it will receive. The amount will be set in the spring based on several factors other than what was requested, among them the total assessed value of taxable properties in the district and the Consumer Price Index. Unit 4 officials are projecting about an $80 million increase in the assessed value of the district, from $2.21 billion to $2.29 billion, according to Lockman. The overall levy increase is expected to have a minimal impact on the tax rate because it would be spread out over a larger assessed value of the district, though final figures won't be known until next spring, Lockman said. This year, certainly, we want to ensure we are collecting what we are authorized to collect, he said. In all, the requested levy would be 7.5% higher, from $111,364,397 on 2017 taxes paid this year to $119,775,662 on 2018 taxes payable next year. That would be a nearly 9% increase in the district's corporate and special purpose property taxes and a 0.08% increase on the levy portion tied to debt service. Two hired to help raise funds for med school. Campus pitched in to cover 32 scholarships. Two new University of Illinois advancement officers are on board helping to raise money for the Carl Illinois College of Medicine, which found itself behind fundraising earlier this year. The campus has also pitched in $363,000 this year to help cover the 32 full tuition scholarships awarded to the medical school's first class, U of I officials said. The engineering-based medical school, which opened in July, was designed to be privately funded. The Carl Health System is carrying the financial load initially, pledging $100 million over the first 10 years, as well as $1.5 million annually for operating costs. But last spring, U of I officials said the university was about $25 million behind its target in an 8-year, $135 million fundraising plan to support the medical school. The U of I had raised $20 million at that point, but administrators had hoped to have $44.8 million in gifts and pledges by then, according to the agreement signed with Carl in August 2015. The school has since brought in more, but its endowment isn't generating as much income as planned for the medical school's operating budget. So the campus pledged up to $25 million over 10 years to cover any shortfall, using money from a discretionary fund available to the chancellor for campus academic priorities. It's made up of endowment income, private gifts, and research grants, among other sources, not state funding or tuition income, officials said. The campus had already provided nearly $15 million last year from the renovation of the Medical Sciences Building for the new medical school, said Paul Ellinger, Associate Chancellor and Vice Provost for Budget and Resource Planning. And it will support library costs for the medical school starting this year, which will total $4.91 million through the fiscal 2025, Ellinger said. Any additional campus support required will be provided from the Chancellor's discretionary funding, he said. The funding is being used to pay for 14 of the 32 scholarships for the first-year class, according to Barry Benson, Vice Chancellor for Advancement. The other 18 are being covered by gifts and other private support, he said. The amount needed from the campus over the next 3 years will vary, depending on how much is raised to support the four-year scholarships, but the total won't exceed $1.4 million, Erlinger said. Administrators said they remain committed to the overall $135 million fundraising goal, but couldn't achieve it in the current time frame, which is why they decided to hire more advancement officers. The medical school has hired U of I alumna Jessica Breitbarth as Associate Dean for Advancement, and the campus recruited a new Associate Vice Chancellor, Pauline Zizkovich, to coordinate efforts for all health sciences, including the medical school, as well as the Beckman Institute, a new cancer center, the College of Veterinary Medicine, College of Applied Health Sciences, and specific research initiatives, Benson said. Certainly, as we look forward to the next strategic plan, building a more robust health science program on campus is a component to that strategy, and we're doing our best to support that, Benson said, noting that many of the U of I's peers have a similar strategy. Salaries for the two advancement positions were not available Wednesday. The College of Medicine has received $3 million in additional private support since last spring, bringing its fundraising total to $23 million, Benson said. That includes a $2 million gift from the H.G. Smith Foundation, part of a larger $20 million donation to the U of I that included $15 million for the new Henry Dale and Betty Smith Football Center, and $3 million for scholarships for former U of I athletes to return to campus and complete their degrees. Mr. Smith, who died in 2015, was chairman and CEO of the Springfield-based wholesale drug distribution company, H.D. Smith Company. Benson said the medical school has also received another $1 million in commitments for medical school scholarships, separate from the $23 million. Those agreements have yet to be signed, he said. New online portal opens window into city finances. Want to know how much of your money goes to the Champaign Fire Department? Learn more about a public works project you think might have been too expensive. Deep dive into the city's budgets, expenditures, and revenues. Now you can do so easily thanks to a two-year effort by Champaign's Finance Department. The city has rolled out a new online portal that, after a years-long revamping of its financial systems, gives average citizens free access to Champaign's financial data. A link to the portal can be found on the Finance Department's homepage. The city is pleased to offer expanded public access to the city's financial records through this new online tool, said Carrie Seams, Champaign's Financial Services Manager and Accountant. Residents will be able to review every level of city expenditures, from total spending by fiscal year down to the individual vendor payments. Right now, the portal only leads to this year's data, but staff are hoping to bring in all of the city's historical financial information. It's been a long-standing City Council goal to provide more financial transparency to citizens. As staff began to look at implementing a new financial software program 4 years ago, Seams said they also looked for a tool that was intuitive and user-friendly, so anyone could find what they're searching for without having to be a financial guru. We started the process of implementing the new system over 3 years ago, and this was a piece of that, Seamus said. We implemented the software in several phases, and once we did that, we focused on the portal. We tried to look at it with the lens of someone on the outside and asked, does it make sense to them? So we grouped things so it makes sense to people who aren't familiar with finance. Many different kinds of information can be found on the city's portal. For example, three quick searches of budget, expenditure, and revenue information turned up the following. 24.59%, the share of the city's expenditure budget, is used to date, well within its goal of spending less than 85% of the budget by now, about 5 months into the fiscal year. $148,001,377, the amount of money remaining in Champaign's budget for the year. Health Alliance, Stark Excavating, and Cross Construction, the top three vendors the city has worked with so far this fiscal year. Health Alliance is the city's biggest vendor, paid $3.37 million so far. Stark has received $2 million, Cross $1.7 million. After a presentation about the portal, council members offered praise to the finance department for its modernization of the city system and lauded the new transparency tool. It shows so much of what you do and the breadth of work you do within the finance department, Vanna Pianfetti said. One confirmed dead in I-74 crash. A major accident on Interstate 74, southeast of Bloomington, resulted in one fatality, according to the Illinois State Police. The accident involved a Normal West school bus occurred at about 8:30 p.m. Wednesday in the westbound lanes of I-74 at mile marker 137. According to the initial reports, the Normal West freshman girls basketball team was on a bus that collided with another vehicle while headed home from a game in Champaign against Central High School. Unit 5 School District spokeswoman Dana Brown confirmed a school bus was involved in the crash. According to preliminary information from police, a semi may have been headed in the wrong direction when it collided with the bus. The Unit 5 School District was asking parents to meet at the high school. Other than the report of an adult fatality, no information was available on possible injuries, but the Bloomington Pantograph reported that 3 helicopters were dispatched to the scene. 16 eateries failed health inspections. Several locations shut down because of poor conditions. Chicken blood dripping down the inside of refrigerators and floor drains backing up with black liquids. Employees failing to sanitize surfaces between preparing raw and ready-to-eat foods and also wiping their faces and noses with their gloves on. Walls above food preparation areas covered with aluminum foil, which had been splattered with dried raw meat. These were among the violations leading to the failures of 16 Champaign County food establishments during routine health inspections. From May 1st to October 31st, public health officials temporarily closed or failed 16 restaurants, eateries, and cafes, according to a review of inspection records from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Inspectors failed 8 restaurants between January 1st and April 30th. An establishment fails its routine inspection if it receives an adjusted score of 35 or less on a 100-point scale. Those scores are adjusted for repeated and critical violations. Establishments are immediately closed if they have critical violations that prove to be a health threat to the public, or if their scores fall below zero. Restaurants that receive a score between 0 and 35 can stay open as long as they are re-inspected within 30 days. Establishments can also be shut down if they fail to pay their annual permit fee. The Wendy's, located at 2003 North Prospect Avenue in Champaign, is one of the 6 restaurants that were closed in the past 6 months. An inspector noted several violations of the rules and regulations during an August 21st inspection. The chain received an adjusted failing score of 23. Among the violations cited were vanilla mix sitting in the Frosty machine's hopper at 44 to 47 degrees, causing the mix to be thrown out and the machine condemned, improper storage of tomatoes, raw beef patties and butter, and a moldy ice machine. A reinspection was conducted September 17th, and inspectors found repeat violations from their previous inspection. The inspectors again found raw beef patties and tomatoes being improperly stored. The Wendy's were promptly closed and had its health permits suspended. As of September 19th, the restaurant was reinspected and passed with an adjusted score of 93 and no critical violations. Other restaurants that were closed include DNB Restaurant, 715 South Neal Street, Champaign. Health inspectors temporarily closed the restaurant August 25th after failing a routine inspection with an adjusted score of 17 and 10 critical violations. Records show raw meat and fresh vegetables were being prepared in the same prep area. Walls above the food prep area were covered in aluminum foil, which was covered in dried raw meat, and raw meat was found on shelving and under prep tables. Operations immediately ceased and all equipment was sanitized before it could resume food services. The restaurant passed its reinspection September 5th with an adjusted score of 96. Hardee's, 1806 West Bradley Avenue, Champaign. The restaurant was shut down following an October 26th complaint. Inspectors found the roof to be leaking and water pouring onto the food preparation table as well as the food. A follow-up visit was conducted October 27th, and the restaurant was allowed to reopen. KFC and A&W, 1321 North Dunlap, Savoy. The health department closed the restaurant August 22nd due to gross unsanitary conditions during its routine inspection. No details were provided in the report. Kung Fu Tea, 707 South 6th Street, Champaign. The cafe failed its routine inspection October 3rd with an adjusted score of 20 and 9 critical violations and was temporarily shut down for a day. Records show raw chicken blood and liquids were dripping down the fridge. More than 14 employees' drinks were found throughout the restaurant, and floor drains were backing up with black liquids. The cafe passed its reinspection October 17th with an adjusted score of 96 and 0 critical violations. Phi Gamma Delta Fraternity, 201 East John, Champaign. The health department suspended the food service permit during a May 7th re-inspection, as an inspector found repeat violations from an April inspection, including 6 critical violations. Raw meat was being stored over ready-to-eat food, and milk left on a dispenser table was not labeled for 7-day use. The fraternity received an adjusted score of 30. The report noted inspectors began to discuss the violations with the food service employees, but the tone and language of the employee grew threatening. Inspection was halted at this point, and the inspector left the facility. The food service permit passed its reinspection August 13th with an adjusted score of 96 and no critical violations. Now we have a summary of facilities that were failed but not shut down. Champaign County food establishments that failed public health inspections but were not temporarily closed include Burger King, 720 West Champaign Avenue, Rantoul. The restaurant failed its routine inspection June 19th with an adjusted score of 26 and 6 critical violations. Inspectors noted soiled floors, ice machine buckets being left open, and the restaurant was leaving tomatoes on the prep line for too long. It passed a reinspection July 30th with an adjusted score of 74 and 1 critical violation. Broadway Food Hall, 401 North Broadway Avenue, Urbana. The restaurant failed its routine inspection September 11th with an adjusted score of 24 and 7 critical violations. Those included employees handling raw meat and ready-to-eat foods with the same gloves. Several food items did not have their date of preparation labeled, and tuna was thawing at room temperature outside a cooler. It passed a reinspection September 20th with an adjusted score of 74 and 1 critical violation. Dairy Queen, 1501 Lyndhurst Alley, Savoy. The restaurant failed its routine inspection May 2nd with an adjusted score of 30 and 6 critical violations. Violations included an employee exiting the restroom, drinking a personal drink, and resuming work without the employee washing their hands, leaking pipes from hand sinks, and a can opener soiled with dried food debris. It passed reinspection June 4th with an adjusted score of 78 and 1 critical violation. El Patio Mexican Restaurant, 2506 Village Green Place, Champaign. The restaurant failed its routine inspection September 12th with an adjusted score of 18 and 7 critical violations. Inspectors noted moldy sliced peppers, raw ground beef was thawing overnight in a bucket of water on the floor, and chemical spray bottles and medications were found between food items. It passed a reinspection October 9th with an adjusted score of 78 and 1 critical violation. J.T. Walker's Barrel Rooms Restaurant and Sports, 401 East Main, Mahomet. The restaurant failed its routine inspection October 18th with an adjusted score of 19 and 6 critical violations. Records show that house flies were present in the kitchen and coming on contact with food services and clean equipment. The dish machine was not hot enough to sanitize, and foods was open and failed to have a label date. It passed a reinspection November 19th with an adjusted score of 59 and 3 critical violations. Kung Fu Barbecue, 510 East John Street, Champaign. The restaurant failed its routine inspection October 15th with an adjusted score of 29 and 6 critical violations. Health inspectors noted that proof of food handler training was not provided for all employees. A bag of dumpling dough was molded, and employees were using improper cooling methods. It passed a reinspection November 14th with an adjusted score of 67 and 1 critical violation. Mr. Chu and Charles, 410 East Green Street, Champaign. The restaurant failed its routine inspection September 25th with an adjusted score of 33 and 6 critical violations. Health inspectors noted dumplings were being made on an unapproved prep area. Raw food items were being stored over ready-to-eat foods, and the walls and floor were not clean. It passed a reinspection October 25th with an adjusted score of 63 and 2 critical violations. Nando Milano Trattoria, 202 North Neal Street, Champaign. The restaurant failed its routine inspection October 17th with an adjusted score of 12 and 8 critical violations. Employees failed to sanitize surfaces between prepping raw and ready-to-eat foods and also wiped their faces and noses with their gloves on, according to the report. It passed a reinspection October 22nd with an adjusted score of 63 and 2 critical violations. Taipei Cafe, 512 East Green Street, Champaign. The cafe failed its routine inspection June 14th with an adjusted score of 16 and 8 critical violations. The health department noted the cafe started serving multiple food items such as waffles, hot dog waffles, tea, eggs, rice, etc., without obtaining a prior approval from the department. It passed a reinspection July 5th with an adjusted score of 93. Tasty Fish and Chicken Grill, 705 North Neal Street, Champaign. The restaurant failed its routine inspection September 19th with an adjusted score of 32 and 4 critical violations. Inspectors noted that fish was thawing in tubs of water, a household microwave that was condemned before was found again, and floors were soiled. It passed reinspection October 16th with an adjusted score of 60 and 2 critical violations. Well, this makes you not want to eat out. The health reporter is in. What's the focus of the Urbana Park District's new exercise classes for people with multiple sclerosis? The Park District is working with a University of Illinois researcher to offer a 6-session exercise program to help people with MS cope better with the disease. There will be an information session about the classes from 6:30 to 7:30 tonight at the Phillips Recreation Center, 505 Stoughton Street, Urbana. The exercise program will be led by Bryn Adamson, a U of I kinesiology and community health professor, who has already conducted this program, called Move MS Jump Start, twice at Normal's Advocate Broman Medical Center, and this month also launched MS Discover, a more in-depth version at that hospital. The classes starting January 31st in Urbana, will run 90 minutes each and will cover balance and stretching, aerobics, resistance training, Pilates, yoga, and Zumba. The first 15 minutes of each class will include some discussion and education, then move on to focus on one or each of the exercises forms per class. Adamson said participants in these classes will help add to her research on disability, identity, and exercise in MS patients. Disability identity refers to the identifying with living with a disability and being part of a disability community. Promoting exercise in a way that isn't associated with trying to fix the body or stop MS from doing something to the body can help someone have a greater sense of positive identity and connection to his or her body, Adamson said. It's moving away from promoting exercise as a discipline and the guilt and fear that sometimes comes with not exercising, and moving toward promoting exercise as a resource, she said. Offering different types of exercise can also help remove negative associations an MS patient may have with certain types of exercise, Adamson said. For example, someone who was once a runner and can't run anymore may feel a sense of loss in exercise classes in which they now are doing a lesser form of running, she said. She hopes to see these classes minimize that sense of loss and boost autonomy. Providing samples of multiple activities and focusing on how to begin and advance with each one may help a participant feel confident and competent about pursuing a chosen activity individually at home or at gym. She said, classes will run on 6 Thursdays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Phillips Recreation Center. The cost for the course will be $30 for both Park District residents and non-residents. Family members and caregivers can take these classes with MS patients for free, but will be asked to sign waivers to participate, Adamson said. Enrollment can be done online through urbanaparks.org. Prices at the pump fall, but OPEC meeting looms. Gas prices have dipped under $2 per gallon at many service stations in East Central Illinois. Patrick DeHaan, an analyst for Gas Buddy, cited economic jitters, Iran sanction waivers, high supply, low demand as reasons. However, he said, don't expect prices to drop much more. I wouldn't expect much more improvement. Oil prices are up ahead of OPEC's meeting Thursday to discuss and likely cut oil production, which will likely boost oil prices in the days ahead and thus stifle the drop at the pump, he said. The national average for a gallon of unleaded gas is $2.45, according to AAA. In Illinois, it's $2.36. According to Gas Buddy, gasoline prices in Champaign on Wednesday night ranged from $1.94 at Sam's Club to $2.34 at the mobile station at Prospect and Bloomington Road. In Urbana, six different gas stations were selling fuel at $2.04 per gallon. Danville gas prices were slightly higher, ranging from $2.09 to $2.26. Shop with a cop. Kids and cops team up for gift spree. Nerf guns, that's what at least two of Richard and Mahoney Lindsay's five children really wanted under their Christmas tree. A Nerf gun to get revenge on my dad. Last year he stole our Nerf gun, said Richard Lindsay, 12, of Champaign. I can't wait until I get my Nerf blaster, said Taj Lindsay, 7. Richard, Taj, and their three younger siblings were great shoppers Wednesday night at the Champaign-Meyer store, stretching their $150 each to cover both the needs and wants, and they even managed small gift for each parent and still came in within budget. The Lindsays were among 57 children from 17 families who have had significant incidents in their lives that have brought them to our attention, since Sergeant Dave Griffith, one of the organizers of the annual Shop with a Cop program sponsored by the Champaign Police Department. Teamed with officers and assorted helpers carrying calculators, many of the children went first for the underwear, socks, pajamas, shirts, and shoes, kind of like eating vegetables. Then came the dessert, toys, and electronics. I got a backpack, lunchbox, hat and gloves, clothes, a doll, and slime, said Nakia Lindsay, 10, and markers. Her mother, Mahogany Lindsay, called their selection to participate in the program a real big deal for the family. Afflicted with a manageable form of multiple sclerosis, Mahogany Lindsay works part-time as a lunchroom supervisor at Thomas Paine School in Urbana. Her husband works for Plastic Container Corporation. It takes a lot of pressure off me, and I can put money back into the family, said the elder Richard Lindsay, grateful for their $750 injection of capital into their budget. The Lindsays don't know who suggested that they be on the receiving end of the police department's generosity, but they weren't looking the gift horses in the mouth Wednesday night. Instead, parents and police were consulting, laughing, and trying to gently maneuver the children into making good choices. This has been Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, December 6, 2018. Please stay tuned for Part 2.